Okay, we're starting here at the bottom of Nun Hei Amud Bet. Where it begins, second line from the bottom. Amr Bihuda, Amr Shmo. Ein chayavim mishum tuma, ela al orech mea ushmonim v'sheva, aruchav mea shloshim v'chamesh. So these are the dimensions of the Azara. And here, Rabbi Yehuda Amr Shmuel says that you're only chayav for tuma if you go into those areas that are classified as the Azara, which are the areas of 187 by 135. It's a Mishnah in Midot, and there the Mishnah goes through the layout, both in Rochav and in Orech, of how it lays out the Azara. Tani, Tana, Kameid, Rav Nachman. Kol Azara, Ita, Kuf Pei Zayin, Orochav, Kuf Lamed Hei. So again, the same idea that this, the span of the Azara is 187 by 135. Say, Amalei, Hachi Amar, Abba. So my father said like this, or Abba Rab said this, Kegon ze, Kohanim nichnasim l'sham, ve'ochlim sham kodshei kodashim, ve'shochatim sham kodshei kalim, ve'chayavim mishum tuma. On that statement of the fact that the Azara is 187 by 135, so the answer is that there is relevance to what is considered to be the Azara. What's the relevance to what's considered the Azara? Number one, Kohanim nichnasim sham, ve'ochlim sham kodshei kodashim. That's the Kodshei Kodashim are limited in where they can be consumed. They can only be consumed in an area that's designated as the Azara. So what the Azara, the dimensions of the Azara are important to us for that fact. Vishochatim sham Kodshei Kalim. In addition, we saw Kodshei Kalim can be shechted anywhere in the Azara, not like Kodshei Kodashim, which can only be done in a tzafon. And therefore, where the Azara is also relevant for Kodshei Kalim, assuming that it's Lifnei Petach Omoed. V'chayavim mishum tuma. That's what we just saw from Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. You also chayav tuma in those locations. So when it says lemutei mai, what's not included? What are you helping me with by saying that it's 187 by 135? That's the area that these apply to. What does it mean? Where does it not apply to? So ilemo, if you want to suggest lemutei chalonot dlatot va'oviachoma, that it comes to exclude the windows in the Azara that looked out from the Azara, dlatot the doors. The ovi achoman, the width of the wall, the depth of the wall, meaning that on top of the wall or into the wall would not be classified as being part of the Azara. Says Tanina, we know that already. We've seen that. Achomanot, the ovi achoman, kilifnim. That when it comes to the windows and the width of the wall, the depth of the wall, kilifnim, they have a din of inside. So that, first of all, it's not true that it's coming to exclude it, and that can't be the explanation of what is limutei mai. Ela limutei lishkot. It's coming to exclude the chambers that are there. If the chambers are built in the chol, upt kochol the kodesh, and they have doorways that open up into the kodesh, vatnan, we have a mishnah that says explicitly, tochan kodesh. So that the inside is Kodesh. When it comes to a chamber who opens up into the Kodesh, even though it itself is situated in the Chol, that is a din of Kodesh. So when it says, Midrabbanan, that's only a din Drabbanan. There is Kodesh on the inside, Midrabbanan means Lechomra, not Lekula. Udoraita, lo, is that really true that Midoraita they don't classify as Kodesh? Vatanya. Rabbaita, Lishkot, Bnuyot, Bechol, Uptchot, the Kodesh. You have these chambers that are built in the Chol, and they open up into the Kodesh. Minayin shokohanim nichnasim l'sham, v'ochlim sham kodshei kodashim v'sharei mincha. How do I know that the kohanim can go in there to eat kodshei kodashim and to consume the sharei, the leftovers of the mincha, which they both are matnot kuhuna, they have to consume within the Azara? Talmud Omar, v'chatzar v'moed yochlua, ha-Torah ribta chatzarot harbei. The Torah included many chatzarot, etzel achila achat, for one type of consumption. I mean that many types of chatzarot are included in the consumption that must be or is limited to the Azara. Nevertheless, if it's v'chatzar v'moed yochluha, then in any one of the chatzerot, you are entitled. What's another chatzer besides the Azara? The lishkot that are around it. Now, you could argue that it cries a smachta ba'alma. The problem with saying cries a smachta ba'alma and saying that this is all derabonon, here, this breita is being matir, the consumption of kodshei kodashim. So if it's only a din derabonon and midoraita, it doesn't qualify, we can't let you, that would be a huge problem. That means you'd be yotze, you'd be taking the kodshei kodashim outside of the Azara. So it must be that it is mutar or it's kodesh midoraita. So Mara says, Amarova, l'achilo shayni. That achila is different. True, they are nitkadesh for achila. Aval dinyan tuma lo. But you want to suggest that for achila, that is the case. But dinyan tuma, that did not be the case. And Vahatanyo, don't we have a bright lishkot abniyot chol? Uptukot kodesh, kohanim nichnasim sham, veochlim sham kodshei kodoshim, vein shochatim sham kodshei kalim, vichayavim mishum tuma. So here you have explicit brayta that says when it comes to these chambers that are built in the chol that open up into the kodesh, they have a din of the azara. Now they have a din of azara, which means they have a din of azara in the sense that the kohanim can eat the kodshei kodoshim inside there, as David points out rightly. Well, then why in shochtim sham kodshei kalim? Why can't you check the kodshei kalim? Because the kodshei kalim have the additional requirement of lifnei petach omoleit. So from the inside of the chambers, you cannot see the petach omoleit since you have obstructed view towards the petach omoleit. Therefore, you can't do the shechita. Technically, it's kodesh and could be the azara. It's missing the other item, which is the fnei petach omoed. And in addition, it says v'chayavim mishum tuma. It's explicit that there's a chiyuv mishum tuma. The previous bright only spoke about achila. Now we have a bright that's explicitly saying that there's a problem of tuma if one enters into those areas. Lav amart ein shochatim. So wait a minute. Over there it says ein shochatim. So tananami or tzneinami ein chayavim. So ein shochatim. We explained why it should work. But truthfully, it should be able to be shochet kodshei kalim over there. So you attempted the Gemara to say this is a mistake. You saw that it says ein shochatim. So dnei nami ein chayavin. So it was also right. Ein chayavin. Bishlamo ein shochatim. No, I can understand why the writer wrote ein shochatim. Be'ino mikneged v'petach. V'leka. You need to see the petach omoed and you can't do it from there. Ela ein chayavin amai. Why would you change it to read ve'ein chayavin over here? Ve'li tamich. And according to your reasoning, in shochatim, why would you say in shochatim in this braita? Milo askina de'ika shchita keneged ha'petach. Aren't we dealing with a case here where he can't see the petach from this area? Or that he can be shochet keneged ha'petach from inside of here? And nevertheless, it says, ein shochatim de'i leka. So if you cannot see the petach omoed, l'ma yitzrich. Why are you telling me ain't shochatin? Of course you can't do shkita if you can't see the keneged petach omoed. The only way this is going to be a chiddush in this brayta is if you tell me that the brayta says even though you can see the petach omoed, nevertheless you can't be shochet. Ela apa gav de koshochi keneged petach. Even though you can see the petach omoed, tani ain't shochatin, it reads ain't shochatin mishum delo kadish. Because they're not kadosh. So tananami, so then also you should write there, ain't chayavin. Ula achila lo be'inan kenegera petach. For achila, you don't require a negera petach. Adanya, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudomer, Shnei Pishpishim, Ayub, Beit Chalifot. There were these two openings, what we saw yesterday, in the Beit Chalifot, around the back of the ulam. Govan Shmona, that were 8 amot high. Reilach Shirat Azara, the Azara behind the ulam. Achilat Kodshei Kodashim, Ulish Chitat Kodshei Kalim. So you need it for both. You need it for the Kodshei Kodashim, and you need it for the Kodshei Kalim. Kodshei Kalim is for Shchita, but for Kodshei Kodashim, that's for consumption of the Kodshim. And it looks like you need Keneged Petach Omoed. Amar Ravina, Sami Mikan Achila. Eliminated from all that we did yesterday, that said that they extended the Azara, that was all for the Shchita at Kodshei Kalim, not for the consumption of the Kodshei Kodashim. V'aktiv, don't we have an explicit pasuk which says, Bashlu et abasar petach omoed, v'sham tochlu oto? Then by the Miluim, it says, Cook the basar petach omoed, v'sham tochlu oto, and then you must consume it there. So you see a connection between the petach omoed, where you're mivashel, to v'sham tochlu oto, where it says, Kodshei sha'an. Shiny. That was a one-time thing. Why is Kodshei Sha'a shiny? Rashi says, when it comes to Kodshei Sha'a, Gzeret HaKatuv Haita B'miluim. It's a Gzeret HaKatuv. Aval Kodshei Dorot it's Rabu. But by Kodshei Dorot we have a Ribu. Kedamar HaTorah. Rib Tach HaTzerot Harbei. But for the rest of the time we have a Ribu. And the Ribu allows you to eat or consume Kodesh even within these chambers, and even if you cannot see the petach omoed. That would turn out now, which is that we have three different dinim that require the azara. One is tuma, which is what we started with. Chiyuv tuma is only with the azara. Number two is the consumption of kodshei kodashim must be done in the azara. The third was the shchitat kodshei kalim must be done in the azara. Both the tuma and the shchitat kodshei kalim do not apply in the lishkot. They do not apply to chambers that are built in the chol and have a doorway into the kodesh. Even though they're classified as kodesh, Nevertheless, there's no chiyuv tuma there, and one may not shech the kodshei kalim there, even if you can see the petach or moed. On the other hand, when it comes to kodshei kodashim, one can consume them in the lishkot. Number one, of course, if it sees the petach or moed, but even if it does not see, if there's an obstructed view to the petach or moed, you can still consume it there, because there is no requirement of petach or moed when it comes to the consumption of kodshei kodashim. Now here, when the Gemara says kodshei sha'ah shiny, it's very unusual, because whenever we say kodshei sha'ah, it usually means that it's a kula, and we're explaining why there's a kula here. We never say kodshei sha'ah b'chumra. It's very similar to on Shabbos. You say melachet machshevet asra Torah. The Gemara always uses melachet machshevet asra Torah as a kula. It comes to teach you, in this case you're not chayav, but in other instances you would be chayav. It's only one place where the Gemara actually uses the tzad chumra, and that's in Baba Kama. Here too, this is no. Usually, the kodshei sha'ah is not used in a context of chumra. That's what Tosos, the Shita Mekubetzet, both ask over here. We never say kodshei sha'ah shayin lahachmir lahakel. So therefore, they answer Yesh Lomar Da'achi Kamar Shani Kodshei Sha'ah Da'ainu Miluim. The Gzerat HaKatuf. There's a Gzerat HaKatuf by the Miluim. The Chomakom Omoed. That Omoed always applies by the Miluim, and that is because the Kohanim were required to stay for Shivat HaYamim, but Omoed. They weren't allowed to leave the Omoed for the 7 days. So when we say here Kodshei Sha'ah Shani, we're not saying it's the Chumra, but we're saying that's a din in the Miluim. The din in the Miluim is everything must be done in the Omoed. So you have no Raya from that, the fact that they had to consume it, Petach Omoed, because they have to be in Omoed for all those 7 days. If they're there for the whole 7 days in Petach Omoed, of course they're going to assume it Petach Omoed. So the proof from Kodshei Sha'ah is not a good proof because of the context in which it's said. The context which it's said is that everything's done in Omoed. So I don't know if I can really apply that to anything else. So it's not really saying Kodshei Sha'ah, meaning the Chumrah. Saying Kodshei Sha'ah is unique because in this instance of the Miluim, which is that it all surrounds the Omoed. Amar Yitzchak Bar Avyudimi, minayin the dam shnifsal b'shchiyat hachama. How do I know the dam becomes pasul once you reach shkiyat hachama? I mean, you shech the korban on a day, and then you're supposed to put the blood on the mizbeach, or do the matnot dam on the mizbeach. What happens if one tarries and doesn't do the matnot dam until the sun sets? How do I know once that happens? Pasul, and you can't do anything with the korban. Shneamar. Because the pasuk says, b'yom hakrivo et zivcho yeyachel. On the day that he is makriv the zevach, yeyachel will be eaten. Biyom shata zoveach, on the day that you do zoveach means the shchita, ata makriv. That's the same day you must do the hakrava. On the day you do shchita of the animal, you must do the matnot dam. Biyom shiata zoveach, if it's not the day that you did the shchita, yata makriv, then you can't put the blood on the mizbeach. So therefore, the blood must be put on the same day that you do the shchita. Okay, so that's a good question. That's this big Tosfos we're going to come back to in a second. It's a very good question. Hi, mi bayalei the gufei. We need this pasuk for the gufei for itself to teach us that zman achilat shlamim. That tells us how many days you have to eat shlamim, which is beyom akivot zivcho yachel plus macharat. That you get the 2 days. Mar says imkei nemakra beyom zivcho yachel. Could have just said beyom zivcho on the day that you shecht it yachel, you'll eat it. What is the addition of hakivo? What is the addition of that word akivo? That comes to teach me. Shmamina, biyom shata zoveach, ata makriv. Biyom shiye ata zoveach, yata makriv. On the day you do the shkita, you're makriv. On the day that you don't do the shkita, you can't do the akavat adam. Vidilma achi kamar rachmano. Maybe this is what the Torah means. Ikarib dam ha'idna, it achal basar idna ulamachar. That if the dam is put on the mizbeach today, then the achilat basar will be governed by that. It means that today will be the first day you can eat, and tomorrow will be the second day. V'ikari dam l'machar, but if you bring the dam tomorrow, nit'achal basar l'machar, then the start of the achila will be tomorrow, u'yomachra, and then 2 days onward. I mean that you will just start the count of the 2 days later. In Cain, if that was the case, ne'makra, yom hakrivo ye'achel, you could have just written, on the day that you do the akrava, ye'achel, mean that the two will be connected. Whenever you do the matnot dam, that's when the Achila begins. Zivcho lamali. Then what is the point of adding in the extra word of zivcho? Shmamina, that comes to teach me. Yom shata zoveach. On the day of shchita, atam makrivo. You must do the matnot dam. Yom shiata zoveach, iata makrivo. On the day that you don't do the shchita, you cannot do the hakrava. That's why the dam must be on the day that the korban is brought to the mikdash and the shchita is done in the mikdash. To David's question. David asked the basic question. What's the, as opposed to what? What would be the other alternative? Now, the Gemara did present an alternative here where you could bring the dam on the next day. Although that is not so simple. And that was a question raised here in the Tosfos by the Rabbeinu Tam. It says, what do you need an Easter for? What are the other alternatives? to bring it at night. We know that there's no dam, there's no avod in the mikdash at night. So the option to bring it at night is not there. So once Shkiyat HaChama happens, you're at night, and you couldn't bring the matno dam. The next morning, so you want to wait until the next morning, until the next day, that's the psolino. We already have that by Emurim. Emurim already pasul in the next morning, so dam is going to be the same thing. Basari, Emurim, everything's pasul the next morning when you leave it over belino. So to the dam, belino will be no good by the morning, and you can't do anything. And placing it on the mizbeach, a rosh mizbeach, is not going to help you, even if it helps for other items like the Emurim and the Evarim Torim. It's not going to help for the dam, because the dam does not go on. It's not haktarat mizbeach. That's matnot dam. Therefore, placing on Rosh Hashanah Mizbech is not going to help you over here. So what's the point of saying it's Pasul B'Shkiyah? There's no other... You couldn't do anything. Pas Shkiyah, there's nothing you could do. What do I need an extra statement like that for? From here, the Rabbeinu Tam hooks on to his Chiddush. His Chiddush, which he brings up because of a stira between the Gemara in Psachim and the Gemara in Shabbos. And that's the famous Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam of the 72 minutes. There comes the Rabbeinu Tam, because the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that the amount of time it takes for between Shkiyat HaChama until Tzeit HaKochavim is 3/4 of a mil. The Gemara in Psachim says the amount of time between Shkiyat HaChama and Tzeit HaKochavim is 4 mil. So Rabbeinu Tam says, how do you reconcile between them? How can you have it? One says it's 3/4 of a mil, one says that it is 4 mil. So the Rabbeinu Tam came up with a solution that says that there's actually 2 Shkiyot HaChama. The sun actually sets twice every day, little did you know. And because of that, that's the difference between the 2 calculations. And that is here, just as a background, the Gemara in Psachim, when it's talking about this, their understanding of what happened with the sun was that the sun used to rise in the east, you know, go across the sky, then come down to set on the west side, along the horizon. When it's set on the west side, it's supposed to, well, we know that it's going below the horizon, and it's going to be the other side of the earth, even though it's not the sun moving, we're the one moving. But nevertheless, it's as if the sun is going to the other half of the earth. They believe that there was the Rakia that stood over the earth. It was a semicircle, like a rainbow, like form. And there was a kippah that stood on top of the Rakia. And each day, the sun, when it reached the western side, there was a chalon in the Rakia, a window through the Rakia and through the kippah that allowed the sun to penetrate through to the other side of the kippah. And then it made the same path that it did during the day, just outside the kippah, back to the eastern side. And the same thing, there was a window on the eastern side that allowed the sun to enter. That was how they saw sunrise and sunset each day. I have pictures of this. Anybody wants to see, I sent it out for you. To hear what Rabbeinu Tam suggests is that when it comes to the sun setting, the sun, the first time the sun sets is when it leaves the horizon. When it leaves the horizon, that's when it's entering into the Rakia. The second time the sun sets is actually when it crosses through the kippah. When the sun sets into the, you can see this here, I just blew it up for you. Right here you can see on the second page that the sun, once it moves into the area that is considered the Rakia, that is the Shemesh has left the Ofik, left the horizon, but it's still light. I mean, the sky is still light because the sun is found inside the Rakia. The sun, once until it crosses through the kippah blackens it out, and then you can't see the sun anymore. So the first shkiyah is when the sun leaves the horizon and enters into the rakia. The second shkiyah is when the sun goes through the kippah and where there'll be no light anymore. So truthfully, obviously it doesn't work this way, although the concept that he introduces to the Rabbeinu Tam can still apply today, which is that even after the sun sets, there's still light in the horizon, there's still light in the sky. So that would be the first shkiyah is when the sun leaves the visible horizon. The second shkiyah is when the light disappears from, there's no more light along the horizon. But because of that, the Rabbeinu Tam suggests now, let me explain to you the difference between the Gemara in Psachim and the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Psachim is talking about the first Shkiyah. The first Shkiyah, when it leaves the horizon, until Tzeit HaKochavim, that is 4 mil. That takes up 4 mil. 4 mil is calculated based on the Gemara in Psachim. The Gemara in Psachim says that Ma'aleich Adam Benoni Biyom, a person walks in one day, Eser Parsaot. Eser Parsaot is the equivalent of 40 mil, 40 mil. So over a 12-hour day, a person walks 40 mil. We'll assume now that we're dealing with regular Sha'ot. It happens to be Machloket, Rishonim, whether you apply Sha'ot Zmaniot or not to the calculation of the hours for Ben HaShemashot. But let's assume yes. Over here, we'll use just a regular 12-hour day at the equinox. And therefore, 40 mil over a day of 12 hours is 720 minutes. over the day, and that means that 40 meal for every meal is 18 minutes. Takes the walk. 18 minutes for every meal, and I laid out the calculation for you over here. Therefore, if you say that from the time the sun sets until Tzeit HaChavim is 4 meal, that means that it is 72 minutes. That's the famous 72 minutes of the Rebbeinu Tam. Because the time the sun sets until Tzeit HaChavim is actually 72 minutes. But the Rebbeinu Tam also says that that first Shkia is not really Shkiat HaChama. It leaves the visible horizon, but that's not classified as Shkiat HaChama. Shkiat HaChama is the second Shkia when it's going through the Kippah. In the period of time that it's going through the Kippah, that's what we know as Ben HaShmashot. That's the period of Ben HaShmashot when the light is fading from the horizon and the sun is going through the Kippah. That is 3/4 of a meal. 3/4 of a meal would equal out to about 13.5 minutes. Although a lot of, I think the Mishabur and others bring down about 15 minutes as being the time period for that. So that means, according to the Rebbeinu Tam, the sun really sets not when we see leave at the horizon, but rather about 59 minutes later, that's when the real sunset is. And that's when you enter into Ben HaShmashot, and Tzeit HaChavim will be the 13.5 minutes later. Now, the Rebbeinu Tam says, I'll tell you the difference. When the Gemara uses the term Shkiat HaChama, that means the first Shkiat, when it leaves the rising. When the Gemara uses Mishitishka HaChama, it's talking about the second sunset, which is Tzeit HaChavim. So the Gemara uses the word Mishitishka HaChama, it really means Tzeit HaChavim. When he uses Shkiat HaChama, that means the sun leaving the horizon. And so the Rebbeinu Tam suggests over here that the Chiddush in our Gemara is that Mishitishka HaChama is that the dam becomes a sur when the sun leaves the horizon. Now, even though, and he says this, nifsal b'shkiat hachama, becomes nifsal b'shkiat hachama. Shkiat hachama is when the first sun, when it leaves the horizon, that is stale, according to Rebbeinu Tam, day gamur. It's a full, it's the day. You're still in daytime. You're not in nighttime for another 59 minutes, according to Rebbeinu Tam, until you hit Ben HaShmashot, and even there, Tzeit HaChavim won't be for another 72 minutes later. So Rebbeinu Tam claims that's what the Isser is over here. The Isser over here, and I'll read it to you inside, v'yesh lefaresh. It's about dead center of the Tosfos. The Shkiat HaChama, hainu tchilat Shkia, kodem Tzeit HaChavim. Kedamar v'shkiat HaChama, v'ad Tzeit HaChavim, dalet milim. V'choshuv yom. It's full daytime, l'inyan shemitzvatan v'yom. ומפסוק מיותר ממעט להלכה מביום הקריבו. ובכל דוכתא חשוב יום עד צאת הכוכבים. Everywhere else, it's full-fledged day until צאת הכוכבים. So this idea of Shkiat HaChama here, of the Riboy HaPasuk, whether it's a Din D'Rabbanon or Din D'Oraita, says that you have to push it up to Shkiat HaChama. That even from the first sunset, it's Asur. And that's what he says you need the Lav for over here. The Lav is to tell you that it's not Asur when it would be Tzeit HaChavim, but it's Asur from the time that the sun leaves the horizon. That additional period of time is an Issa D'Rabbanon, or it's an Asmach D'Mikra, or even it's a Riboy Minakra. That's what it's telling you. That's the extra. Those extra 72 minutes are what the Issur is coming to teach you about. So now, the Inyan Psak Halacha, it turns out the Tur Shulchan Aruch does not paskin like the Rebbeinu Tam. He paskins like the other Rishonim that say Shkiat HaChama is the end of the day. On the other hand, the Beit Yosef says, I don't understand why he did that. The Rebbeinu Tam has a lot of support, meaning that the Ramban, the Rashba, the
Ran,
and others support the Rebbeinu Tam's position. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch, when he brings down the Halacha, says that Tzeit HaChavim is really the time period when it becomes nighttime. That Tzeit HaChavim is coming. You can dive in Mincha all the way up to Tzeit HaChavim, but really, let's call it the 13.5 minutes beforehand because of Ben HaShmashot. And you can't dive in Ma'ariv until after that 72-minute time. It's explicit in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramah does not argue. Yet, we don't do that. We only use Shkia. And that has to do with a Gra. The Gra says, I disagree with Rebbeinu Tam. First of all, there is a plethora of Rishonim that disagree with Rebbeinu Tam. That's number one. And number two is, I think he's totally wrong. Because there are so many things where it's clear that the Gemara is talking about Shkiat HaChama is literally the sun setting from the horizon, and not Tzeit HaChavim. So he brings up, I sent that on the Makorot, you can look through it and see the Be'er Gra. But then the Be'er Gra has to deal with the fact that there is this stira between the Gemara in Pesachim and the Gemara in Shabbos. The way the Gra explains it is that Shkiat HaChama is literally the sunset is the end of the day. The Ben HaShmashot is 3/4 of a meal. That's the 13.5 minutes, 15 minutes, depending where you are. And the Gra agrees to this, that it's all there had to do with the horizon in Eretz Yisrael based on the equinox. So if you move away from the equinox, or if you move away from Eretz Yisrael, the times the Ben HaShmashot will change. The duration of the Ben HaShmashot will change. And that's the one of the Gra's claims over here, is that the Rebbeinu Tam can't be right, because if you go far enough north, he says that when we go up in the northern places, there would be no Tzeit HaChavim. Chovim according to the Rabbeinu Tam, because you would just end up going from Seder Chovim to Alot HaShachar. He says that they're parallel. However late you think Seder Chovim is away from Shkia, Alot HaShachar has to be away from Netzach Chama. And he says then you're going to have an overlap between Alot HaShachar and Seder Chovim. Makes no sense. That's what one of the Gra's claims. The Gra says, therefore, that sunset is the end of the day. Benesh Mashalt is that 3/4 of a meal that comes afterwards. At that point in time, it's fully night, and that's when there's Shlosh Kochavim. You see 3 stars, and that's what the Gemara talks about. 3 stars, Benonim, in the sky, you'll see at that point in time, after Benesh Mashalt, here in Eretz Yisrael, most when we do it like the Gra, most people wait 20, 22 minutes, maybe 24 minutes, right, to be machmir for the Gra, even though technically here in Eretz Yisrael, it shouldn't be that long. But nevertheless, people are makbid for the grow up to like 20 to 24 minutes between Shkia and then into, let's say, the Chochavim based on the grow. But then what does he do with the Gemara Mesachim about the 4 million? So he says that was talking about Kol HaChochavim. That when you want to see, when the nighttime, when you want to see all the stars, that is only after 4 mil. After 4 mil, there is no light whatsoever left on the in the sky. And never you can see all the constellations, you can see all the stars. What you need for Tzedek Chochavim is simply 3 stars. That's after 3/4 of a meal, and that's enough to be classified as full night. The Gemara in Pesachim is talking about Kol Kochavim, not about Shlosha Kochavim, and that's what it was describing over there. What halachic impact it has, it doesn't necessarily have a halachic impact, it doesn't seem like. So obviously that's the weakness in the Gra's interpretation. The weakness in the Rabbeinu Tam's interpretation is that he just extended, created this new Shkiyat HaChama, the second Shkiyat HaChama, which we never really seen mentioned in the Gemara. The Ran explicates on this, explains the Rabbeinu Tam Shita in this way. And it's amazing, you have 2 Shkiyot. And in addition to that, the Rabbeinu Tam, and he mentions it in our Tosafot over here, as well in other Tosafot, that there are exceptions to the rule. That even though Mishitishka HaChama always is the second one by Tzeit, and Shkiyat HaChama means by the first Shkia, by the leaving the horizon, he says, well, this one's an exception, that one's an exception. He has 1 or 2 exceptions to the rule. It doesn't work. But it'll turn out a big nafkamin, including for Hadlaka Neirot Chanukah, because there it says, Mishitishka HaChama. According to the Gra, Hadlaka Neirot is at Shkia. Whereas according to the Rabbeinu Tam, the Shulchan Aruch, the time is Tzedek Chochavim. You have to wait 72 minutes later. One of the big proofs for the Gra is that the Rambam seems to pass about Shkiyat HaChama. If you have the Rambam, the tour, you have many of the Rishonin, the Kori Rishonin, that pass that it's Shkiyat HaChama as a cutoff. In the end, what we end up doing, and that's brought down in the Mishnah Berurah, the Be'er Halacha, is that we're machmir, he says, we should machmir the Shlosh Shteya Shitot. You machmir the Shita of the Gra, the Gabay Shkia. If you're starting Shabbos, you can't do Malacha after Shkiyat HaChama. You shouldn't daven Mincha after Shkiyat HaChama. On the other hand, when it comes to anything Deoraita, and it's like Yitziyat HaShabbat, you should be machmir for the Rabbeinu Tam and not take out Shabbos before the Rabbeinu Tam, because maybe it is Tzedek Chochavim. How could you go? It's a Safek Deoraita, you have to go a little Chumrah. There is one other Shita, the Shita of the Yireim. Shita of the Yireim says that the 13 and a half minutes are actually prior to Shkiyat HaChama. That the time period of those 3/4 of a meal is really 3/4 of a meal before the sun sets on the horizon. And that's the end of the day. So that Shita Yireim actually says that the end of the day, or Shkiyat HaChama, actually takes place 3/4 of a meal before the sun actually leaves the horizon. And based on that, that's one of the reasons that when we are mostly Bichalal HaKodesh, and we do Hadlakat Neirot, we do them 18 minutes before, or 20 minutes before, is to incorporate, to be choshish for the Shita of the Yireim. So incorporate the Yireim, that way if you do it 18 minutes, 20 minutes before, you can capture the Yireim plus a Hosafat Shabbos. And that's where those numbers came from, in order to be choshish for all the Shitot, and even capture this Yireim, to start Shabbos before the Yireim. Yeah, so you have about 15 minutes or so, the Mishnah Berurah calls that, and you have 3 minutes of Hosafat Shabbos. I said before, I think that you could still say, today, you can see the same thing happen. The sun sets, and there's still light, especially in the summertime, it's that way. There's still light in the sky and in the horizon. So you could differentiate between the physical setting of the sun and the light in the sky. And at a certain point, the sun goes far enough below the earth. Again, it's not the sun moving, it's weird spinning, but nevertheless, it goes far enough below that there is no more light in the horizon. So you could simulate what the Rabbeinu Tam says, even though the laws of nature that he thought are not true. And that I suggested before. Anyway, that was just a quick sikkum, because the Rabbeinu Tam is here in this sugya. But it's interesting, I sent out the mekorot as well as the pictures that you take a look at it and look in more in depth at it. Itmar, ha-michashiv le'or shilishi. Someone who goes ahead and shefs a shlamim, and he has a machshevet chutz l'zmano. But the machshevet chutz l'zmano he has is the night of the third day, means the night before the third day. So you have the day that you would check the animal, that's the first day. On a shlamim, you could eat it on that day, and the next day, and the night in between, shnei yamim v'layla echad. The following night, after the second day, there you're not permitted to eat it. On the other hand, it's not notar, it's not nisraf until the morning of the third day. So there's this twilight zone where you're not allowed to consume the shlamim during that night, but it's not burnt until the morning of the third day.
Again, he shechts it at...
So let's do it. He shechts it on Monday. Entitled to eat the shlamim on Monday. The Monday night, Tuesday, and that's it. Tuesday night already, it's not allowed to be consumed. Yet, it would not be nisraf, you would not be sereif the notar until Wednesday morning. So Tuesday, between Tuesday night and Wednesday morning, there's this twilight zone where you cannot consume it, but you also cannot burn it. It's not classified as notar to be burnt. So now what happens if a person goes ahead, he shechs the korban shlamim, would that to eat it on the third night, to eat it on that Tuesday night? What's the din? Chizki amar kasher, it's not pigul. Rabbi Yochanan amar pasul, that it is pigul. Chizki amar kasher, da'alo intik l'sreifa. It's not considered to be chutzus mano yet because it hasn't been, it's not royal l'sreifa. If it was outside of his mind, it would already be royal l'sreifa. Rabbi Yochanan amar pasul, da'ayitchile me'achila. It is pasul because you can no longer consume it during that period, so that's already chutz l'zmano.
Or
shlishi means the night before the third day. That's the look in the top Tosu. Tosu says or shlishi garas. Right, or le abasar, exactly. Bidila or shlishi would mean the night afterwards. So not the night afterwards, but the night before. So now, ochel le or shlishi, forgetting about machshevet chutz l'zmano, what happens if someone eats it on that night? Chizki amar patur, he says you're patur, you don't get karet. Tloin tikles reifa, it's not notar yet because it's not ready to be burnt. Rabbi Yochanan amar chayav, da'id chelei me'achilo, because you can't consume it anymore. That means it's already notar, you should be chayav karet. So the machlokas is both in the machshevet of chutz l'zmano as well as actually consuming the notar in the case. Tani kovetzer the Rabbi Yochanan, we have a bright that supports this position of Rabbi Yochanan. Kochim hane'achalim liyom echad. A kochim that are eaten for a single day, mechakshvin bidman, mishet tishka chama. If you have a machshava to do the matnot dam after sunset, or ubibsarom meirim mishiale amud hashachar, or the basarim meirim, you have a machshava after the next morning. Kochim hanechalim l'shnei yamim v'layla achad. On the other hand, when you're dealing with kochei kalim, like the shlamim, where it's 2 days and 1 night, mechashavin b'dvam tishka chama. If you have a machshava of chutz l'zmano, meaning the dam after sunset on the first day, that's what we just learned before, that you have to do the matnot dam on the day you do shechita. U'bemeruhem mishale amud hashachar. The merim are when the sun rises, when you have dawn on the next morning. U'bibsaram mishetishka chama shoshnei yamim. And where does the basar problematic of chutz l'zmano? After sunset on the second day. And that's exactly like Rabbi Yochanan, that sunset is the cutoff for the kochei kalim that are v'shnei yamim v'layla echad, and that already is classified as notar. This is one of the problems for the Rabbeinu Tam Shita, just pointed out here because it's quoted. He says over here, kochim anechlim niyom echad, it says, mechashvin b'daman, comes to daman, mishetishka chama, that you can have a machshava of chutz l'zmano, mishetishka chama. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, mishetishka chama is tzeita kochavim. And yet, on the previous amud, it says, when it comes to the Madam, it's Nifsal bit Shkiyata Chama. The difference over here, it says that the problem is at Shkiyata Chama. Over there, it says the problem is Mitishka Chama. Here it sounds like at the first sunset, the other one sounds like Tzeit HaKohavim. So Rabbeinu Tam says that here it's an exception. The Basar, the Imurim Basar, the Chashiv, the Kaman, Badeidam, Mishatishka Chama, the Kaman, Lohavi Kaman, Tishka Chama, Be'alma. It's not like Tishka Chama that we use everywhere else. This is the exceptional case where it should have been Shkiyata Chama, not Mishatishka Chama. The reason they said it that way is because it was connected to the other items, the basaram. But there you'll see also the question of the Reino Tam, that the basar and imarim are already problematic once you reach Amud HaShachar. So what do you have to worry about dam at Amud HaShachar? So what is it if the dam is asur? And that was the chiddush of the Reino Tam, that was from Shkia until Tzeit HaKochavim was the chiddush by the dam. Right now, next, Tan Rabbanan. You would have thought that you could eat it on the night of the third day. Again, this is like Ordli Yudalid, meaning the night after the second day, you should be able to eat it. That you get the night afterwards. Kochei Kodeshim, which are only entitled to be eaten for 1 day, and they're still consumed on the night afterwards. You should get the night afterwards. So when it comes to Zvachim, they're eaten for 2 days, certainly the night afterwards should be that way. That which is left over until the third day. But only while it's daytime can you consume it, but you may not consume it at the night time. Rashi claims that the reason it works like this from the Pasuk in Kedoshim, which says, "Biyom zivchachem yachel umi macharat vanutar yom shlishi ba'eshi sareif." So it says, "Biyom zivchachem." Yechel, and then Mimacharat, and then Vanotarat Yom Ashlishi Ba'ish Nisarev. So you see the word Yom is used there in all cases, so therefore only during the daytime are you allowed to consume it, not at nighttime. That's Rashi's claim of what the limud is. Tosus takes issue with Rashi's limud because it says, Vakasha, the notar hiksika inyan. The word notar breaks up the word Yom from the Macharat. It says, Yom Sivrachem Yechel, and then it says, Umimacharat. You want to want the Yom to modify Macharat. So it says, Macharat, Vanotarat Yom. So if you want the word Yom to modify Macharat, why is the word notar in between? So therefore he says, Rabbi Chaim Mefaresh ad Yom Hashlishi. One may consume ad Yom Hashlishi, but the Yom Hashlishi is not included. And therefore it's not eaten at the night of Shlishi. So one is allowed to eat it, but notar ad Yom Hashlishi, that which is left over until the day of the third day. The third day means anything in the third day. Anything in the third day includes the nighttime. And therefore the Yom Hashlishi is not the bichlal, it's not included. So now, yochol yisareif meyad, I would think that it should be burnt right away. V'dinu, zvachim ne'achalim le'yom echad, zvachim ne'achalim le'shnei yamim. You have kodesh kodashim, you have kodesh kalim. Mas vachim neachadim liyom echad, take efla achila srifa. As soon as the period for achila expires, the notar, the requirement of srifa, begins immediately. For kodesh kodashim and the todah and the yom nazir, when you eat them that day, that night, at the end of the night, as soon as the night's over, that morning you burn them. So the expiration of the achila is adjacent to the burning. Af zvachim neachadim shnei yamim, it should be the same way. Take of the achila srifa. So when does the achila expire? At the end of the second day. So that means you should burn it right at that night. Tamalomar, b'yom ha-shlishi b'esh yisareif. That only on the third day do you put it in the fire. B'yom ha-tasofor, b'yom ha-tasofor b'layla. You can only do the srifa during the day and not at night. And therefore you end up with this twilight zone, which is the night of Or L'shlishi, the night after the second day, where one may not consume the kodshei kalim, the shnei yamim v'layla chad, but he may not burn it yet. He can only burn it when the sun rises the next morning on the boker of the yom ha-shlishi. So during that period of time, it cannot be eaten and cannot be burnt. And that would be that zman, or that twilight zone that we're discussing over here. And that's why there was the machloket between Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan as to exactly what the status of that time period is. Is it classified as a notar? Is it classified as machshevet chutz lizmano? Rabbi Yochanan says yes, and Chizki says no. Chizki focuses on the srefa, and Rabbi Yochanan focuses on the achila aspect. This is the last of the Mishnayot. We've now reached the Kodshei Kalim, the latest of the Kodshei Kalim, and this is Va'abachor, Va'amaser, Va'apetzach, Kodshei Kalim. These three are categorized together. We saw this earlier on Lamed Vav in the Masechta, I think Lamed Zayin, about these three we categorized together. Shkedetam b'chol makom b'azara, like Kodshei Kalim, they can be shechted anywhere in the azara. V'damon ta'un matana achat. And they only require a single matana to the Mizbeach. And that, again, we learned earlier on Lamed Zayin. There's a machloket about why that works or how that works. Ubavad sheyiten keneged ha-yisod. As long as he places it in a location where there is a yisod. Shina ba'achilatam. Their eating is different. Ha-bechor ne'achal ha-kohanim. Bechor is one of the matnot kohuna, can only be consumed by a kohen. Ha-maser belongs to the balim. We never see anywhere that the maser goes to the kohen. Therefore, the korban ha-maser goes to the balim. It can be consumed by the chol adam, by anyone. Ne'achalim Bechol ha'ir, and they can be consumed in the entire city of Yerushalayim. Now Rashi says, how do you know it can be eaten bechol ha'ir? Rashi says, ve'veitim sham alotechem, zivchechem, et masrotechem. Says that you bring up to Yerushalayim your zvachim and your masrot. V'tanya b'sri, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shtei masrot ha'kadud meber. The pasuk talks about two masrot. One is maser sheni, and one is maser behema. And so you see that maser behema has to be brought up to Yerushalayim. And then he says, since the Torah never gives an explicit definition of the area where it must be eaten, that must be that it can be eaten throughout the whole city. It doesn't limit it in any way. It says, bring it up to Hashem in the Mikdash, but then it doesn't give you any limitations where you can eat it. Therefore, it's permissible to eat it throughout the entire city. Tosus brings this limit of Rashi, and he says, I don't understand it. He says, number one, why doesn't a Bechor and Maser require Mechitza? Because they both say Lifnei Hashem, that they have to be brought Lifnei Hashem, and anything that's brought Lifnei Hashem requires mechitza should be eaten in the Azara. So why is it that there is no mechitza? And why would you automatically assume that it can be eaten throughout Yerushalayim? And the suggestion of Tosos is that near the farish, the nafkala midmakshina migmar lechazeh v'shok shel shlamim. That there's a hekesh between the chazeh and shok of the shlamim, and achalim l'shnei yamim, v'u adin l'inyan shnei achalim b'chol ha'ir, That we learn all of these things out from the chazeh and shok. The same pasuk that Rashi brought down. You can't eat it at home. But you can't eat Yerushalayim. And from the explicit mention of Bechor in that pasuk, we're learning Gzeirah Shava to Maser. The problem is in that pasuk it also says Chataot and Hashemot. And if Chataot and Hashemot are mentioned in that pasuk, then why don't the Chataot and Hashemot also have be eaten throughout Yerushalayim? If that's the limud at this pasuk for Bechor and Maser, then Chataot and Hashemot should have that same limud. So here the first, that we connect them to the Chazeh and Shok of the Shlamim, and therefore that will be the same din as far as where they're eaten. Just like the Shlamim is consumed throughout the whole Yerushalayim, and they're compared to the Chazeh and Shok of the Shlamim, so too over here by the Bechor Maser, they also will be consumed throughout the whole Yerushalayim. So that's Tosfos' solution in the end, is to say that we can't learn it out of the pasuk, and you have to learn it out from this Hekesh to Shlamim. Then it's eaten b'chol ma'achal. It can be eaten any way you want. L'shnei yamim v'layla echad. B'chol ma'achal is opposed to the Pesach, which we're going to see in a second, for 2 days and one night, which is also opposed to the Pesach. So these are kodshei kolin. Ha-Pesach, enu achalel b'layla. Pesach can only be eaten the night of the 15th, night of the Seder. Ve'enu nechalel ad chatzot, can only be consumed until chatzot. Ve'enu nechalel miyav, can only be consumed by someone who was appointed, who was designated as an owner or an eater of the Korban Pesach when it was shechted. Ve'enu nechalel etzli, and it has to be roasted. So that all the times that we said through this parak, b'chol ma'achal was as opposed to the Pesach, which is enel etzli, that comes as roasted. Now where we know shnei yamim v'layla echad, b'chor, the Gemara is going to teach us, Rashi says, ma'aser, I have no idea how we know that shnei yamim v'layla echad and ma'aser. And later on, Rashi put a Haggah, as Tosa says in his Perush, and says, we learned that Havara, Havara, Exer Shava from Bechor to Maaser. Though Tosa rejects it. And he says, the Maaser, he thinks in the end that we learn from Shlamim, from a Binyanav. That Maaser is a subcategory of Shlamim, and therefore it has the same status of Shlamim. I want to know, Mantano, who's the author of Mishnah? This is based on the Machlokas that we saw earlier in the Masechta about whether the Karbonot require Shvicha or Zrika. In our Mishnah, it says, sounds like you do a zrika, not shvicha, by the korban of Pesach, and then all three of them get the same matnat dam. The Tanya of Gosi Omer, chelbo lo ne'amar el chelbam, damo lo ne'amar el damam. That they have to have a matan dam and the emurim have to place in the mizbeach because of the plural usage there, which says chelbam. And bisaram means that it's coming to include other items, not just the bechor, which is mentioned in the pasuk, but even the other items that are mentioned there, which is the maser and the pesach. That is as opposed to Rabbi Shmuel, who argues on Rabbi Yosef Galili and says that the pesach is b'shvicha dafka, because we learn that out of midam zvecha yishafech, and therefore they would not be able to say that all three of them have the same matnot dam as that we name it in the Mishnah. Kenegedi yisod minolan. How do you know that when you do this matnat dam, this one matana, it has to be a sod below it? Amar Rabbi Elazar, atya zrika zrika meola. Learning out some sort of zereshava from ola. The ola gufa minolan. How do you know by an ola that you require that the matnot dam, the shtei matnot chain arba, must be done over an area that is yisod? Because it says dechtiv yisod mizbach haola. They made al ola tchova shetuna yisod. So you see that the ola requires yisod because it says el yisod mizbach haola. Defines the mizbeach by being the ola where the yisod is. Well, if that's the case, you're going to compare it to an ola, then say that it should have the same matbot, which means shtei matanot shein arba, not just a matana achat. Afkan shtei matanot shein arba. Samar baye. Lama lemichtev saviv ba'ola, saviv b'chatat. Why do I have to read the word saviv ba'ola and saviv b'chatat? The word saviv is what teaches me that we do shtei matanot shein arba, because it has to go saviv. It has to go on all sides of the mizbeach. Well, saviv is written by ola, and saviv is written by chatat. Havu shtei ketuvim abayim keachad. You have two psukim teaching us the same din. Chol shnei ketuvim abayim keachad ein melamdim. They don't teach, because if you want to create a binyan av, write it once, and then we'll know that's the rule. If you write it twice already, we know those are the exceptions and not the rule. So these are the exceptions. The ola and the chatat are the exceptions. We get shtei matanot shabai. We'll not create a rule, and therefore our korbanot over here will not get shtei matanot shein arba. That's good according to one who says that two psukim are not melamdim. They are considered to be the exception, not the rule. Even with two psukim, it's not considered an exception yet. You also have the asham where it says saviv, and therefore shlosha. That's three psukim teaching you saviv. That's clearly the exception, not the rule. Shlosha vadei melamdim. Therefore, you cannot learn out. When you have three psukim telling us the same din, that means that those are the only ones that have that din, and nothing else has a din. And therefore, I will not extrapolate that din to the Bechor Maaser and Pesach, that they require Shtei Matanot Arba, not just a Matana Achat. All right, we'll stop over here.